KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelei Kinnean, and it's 8:02. A regional tribal government is asking the governor for clemency for a group of 40 fishermen. Myron Nanning, who is the head of the Association of Village Council Presidents, said that the fishermen are being treated like criminals. The fishermen were cited last month for putting their nets in the water during an emergency closure on the Kuskokwim River. Many also had their nets confiscated by state law enforcement officers. The closure was taken to protect king salmon headed for their spawning grounds in some of the lowest numbers on record. And KDLL's Shaylin Cochran reports a rally in Kenai Friday came just hours after Governor Sean Parnell and Fish and Game Commissioner Cora Campbell addressed the statewide problem of record low returns of king salmon and the far-reaching economic effects of preserving those fisheries. Here's Parnell's message to set netters on the peninsula.
I hear you, and I am sorry that you are experiencing this downturn. This is not something that anybody would wish on anyone, but I also want Alaskans to know, that Eastside Set Netter to know, that we are deeply concerned about them as an Alaskan, and we'll take every measure we can to assure they can make a living.
Todd Smith is a third-generation Eastside Set Netter.
That's beside the point, really. They should be managing the fish. And we were upset at the beginning that you know, they're saying, okay, the king numbers aren't high enough, but yet they're still fishing them on the river. And now they're saying, well, the king numbers aren't high enough, so we're going to let the reds just escape into the river and overescape the river. And the biologists know that they've told us that, you know, sustained overescapement is going to damage future runs. And we see our industry being hamstrung now and into the future because we're probably not going to have good returns if they overescape the river again.
Putting a focus on science rather than politics and developing effective policy was a common theme during the rally, despite the fact that some have questions about the validity of data being collected by Fish and Game. To that end, Fish and Game Commissioner Cora Campbell stated during the morning's press conference Friday that they would be stepping up efforts to conduct research that could ostensibly be put to use in developing more equitable management policies.
Within the department, as I said, we're also reaching out to federal agencies and other scientists to make it a collaborative process. They've been meeting and talking throughout the summer because the direction was given as soon as it became clear to us how difficult 2012 was going to be. The direction was given to begin meeting and talking about what type of a planning process could be developed.
Invitations to the rally in Kenai were put out for local political leaders to attend, and many did, including former Lieutenant Governor Lauren Lehman, whose family has been set netting since 1959.
You know, we just need to change the board. The problem isn't, in my opinion, isn't most people in Fish and Game. They're implementing a bad policy. We need to change the Board of Fisheries and reclaim this fishery and get it managed properly.
A look at area sub-districts. The Unalakleet River Testnet currently has the fourth lowest king salmon catch, with 26 kings caught through July 20th. In the Elam sub-district, the king counts are the poorest in more than 30 years. In Golovin, the king counts are tied for the lowest in the 18-year counting history. Subsistence and sport fishing for kings are closed in the Unalakleet and Shaktulik sub-districts until August 15th. And have you taken a look at the White Alice Towers recently on Anvil Mountain? They're looking a little bare. As planned, the Air Force is in their final year of cleanup efforts at the old Air Force Station. Tommy Baker with Joint Base Elmendorf, Richardson, and Fairbanks, the unit responsible for environmental cleanup at White Alice and radar stations throughout the state, says the cleanup involves taking off the skins, or the panels, that contain asbestos from the four towers.
In order for us to clean up all the property that's up there, we had to remove all asbestos-containing material. Those panels will be shipped down to the lower 48 to a permitted landfill that accepts asbestos-containing material. So none of that material is going to be staying in the local area or the local landfill.
Once the panels are removed and shipped out, the old Air Force site, a telecommunications station developed during the Cold War, the Air Force will be finished with the site. Baker says the land will then be transferred to the Bureau of Land Management,
who at that time will transfer to whoever has requested it.
The Sitnazoc Native Corporation is expected to take ownership of the land. The city of Nome has been in negotiations with the corporation regarding a lease agreement. That lease is currently under review. 71 systems were developed in Alaska in the 1950s. By the 1970s, most were deactivated, and cleanup of the sites is just now being completed. The Anvil Towers are unique because they will remain standing, whereas all other towers were completely dismantled.
The community and the tribe were working together very closely to ensure that we left the towers. And, that's our plan, is to try and meet that request, but at the same time allow us to clean them the way that we have to in order to transfer that property out of Air Force, off the Air Force books, over to the future landowner.
Baker says the Air Force is also this summer involved in the cleanup of another site in the Nome area. They're assessing the West Nome Tank Farm to see exactly what they need to do to clean that area up. The assessment will give the Air Force an idea of how much soil will need to be removed for the approved Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation standards. The 51st annual World Eskimo Indian Olympics wrapped up this weekend in Fairbanks. Among the winners were several people from Western Alaska. 24-year-old WIO rookie Nick Hansen from Unalakleet took first place in the bench reach. The popular event drew nearly 45 men and 24 women in competition. Third place went to Nome's Elijah Cabin Boy, who took first in the event last year. For the women, second place went to Nome's Joni Earp. The bench reach, originally an event from the game's early years, was brought back during WIO's 50th anniversary last year and returned this year due to popular demand. Hansen also took first in the toe kick with a distance of 92 inches, while Cabin Boy took home a first place finish in the Alaskan high kick with a height of 93 inches, just short of his 96-inch world record set in 2009. Vanessa Tawbone of Nome took first in the women's ear pull. Kaktovik's James Lampe earned another gold in the men's competition after coming in first last year after a 20-year break from competing. Nome's Marjorie Tawbone took gold in the fish-cutting contest. Unalakleet's Davida Hansen took second, with Barrow's Charles Brower taking third place. And in this year's WIO North American Basketball Tournament, first place for the men went to Tanana Era, and for the women, the Nalato Wolves. A look at the price of gold this morning, down $4.50 an ounce to $1,580.50. An ounce of silver is down 17 cents to $27.26. It's unofficially 49 degrees at the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 8 o'clock.